All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, very excited to be talking to an individual who is set for a very intriguing fight at BKB 34, which goes on September the 16th, and he's defending his BKB flyweight world title. We've got Ishay Smith challenging for Dan Chapman's hardware there, and great having Dan on the show for the first time. How are you doing there, man?
Hey, Chap, yes, I'm really good. Thanks for having me, and I'm excited to tell you how training is going, and I'm looking forward to seeing the build-up in the next 4 weeks to this fantastic fight at the London O2.
Yeah, and you did call for world-class opposition after your last fight there. I would think this upcoming fight would very much suffice in that regard.
Yeah, to be honest with you, whoever gets put in front of me, mate, it's unfortunately people are still going to be the opponent is not good enough. I've had that from day one because of my amateur background. But that's not my fault. You know, I'm giving away, you know, 15 kilos in weight in these fights. I'm not a 69-kilo fighter. The guys are coming down from 75, and I'm a naturally walking around a 62 to 63-kilo fighter. You know, I'm eating like 6 to 8 meals a day to get even near this weight. And I'm still nowhere near the weight. So for me, as people don't understand the risks that I take just to fight the best, and nobody at my own weight will fight me anyway, so I've got to take these risks. So because I had a fantastic amateur background, people are always going to say Daniel's too good and the opposition is not good enough. But what can I say when I'm fighting a former world champion club fighter? There's nothing else they can say, is there?
Yeah, and just a very unique challenge here, because obviously very experienced glove boxer, being a former IBF world champion and under that Mayweather tutelage for many years, but also someone who does have that bare knuckle experience and has gotten a victory in the sport. So, I mean, very intriguing, like someone who has that broader resume for sure, but also has that localized direct experience in the sport as well. So very intriguing. Yeah, it is,
you know, it's the more of the youth against the more experience, but I think he's forgetting that I have just the same experience as him. You know, I've been in the game 20 years, and the thing is, you know, people always, I get a lot of credit for my speed. And I look after my body all year round. I don't have days off. So when I start my camp, usually that's when people finish their camp in that condition. So I get 10 weeks to just sharpen my tools, which I'm super excited, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how good my talent is. Talent does not work without hard work. So for me, I've always trained like a poor man. I don't train. I don't have an ego with my talent. I express my talent. I show a lot on my Instagram, and I motivate a lot of people through that. But even if Ishay Smith watched me for a full year, he's still 19 years behind on what I do, because what I do is totally different to many other fighters, as you know.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about the deep amateur background and what you've done in gloved boxing and how that can kind of get in the way of the bare knuckle. But even in saying that, I mean, still a good amount of experience in BKB, having been with them for over 6 years now, and fittingly since, you know, BKB6, as you know, the whole 6 year alignment and everything like that. But yeah, you just love to see it. And we were kind of even touching on it, like before we got into the call here, like talking about just how the profile of bare knuckle has really grown. Like at first it kind of seemed like this like underground, like curiosity based kind of thing almost. Now it's in like much bigger venues, bigger broadcasters getting in on it. There's like a deeper sense of like ring craft and, you know, fight IQ. Just on your own journey, having been through bare knuckle, like I said, since BKB6, like what have you seen in the growth in terms of just like the venues it's in, the broadcasters, the fight IQ, just some of the stuff I was talking about there?
Of course, you just got to look back, okay, on where bare knuckle came from. It's been around for hundreds of years, and when it started becoming a company with UBAD in the beginning and many other companies across the UK, they was only known for being tough men. Men who fought in the pubs, in the streets. But then the standard was getting more competitive, and people could see there's a gap in the market for blood and guts. That's all people want to see, is blood and guts. So they built a platform on that in the bare knuckle companies, and it worked. And then over the years, especially in the last 8 years, the talent had changed. You understand the pro boxing is a business, and when pro fighters are getting sabotaged by not being able to fight with the big names and push to the side, then the bare knuckle scene came on top, because they were saying, well, I'm going to pay you the same, or if not more money, to fight bare knuckle in arenas. And fighters like, really? I'm in. and people started signing contracts then, and it started to become, you know, a sport then. It weren't just guys just fighting in the pans or from like a traveling or gypsy background. It came from, it's changed now to creating British, European, world title and international belts. So it got to the point where they started doing prize fighters, and if you win the prize fighter, you win $15,000 on the night or in the tournament. And that's how I got dragged into it. You know, I said, I can beat these guys. And at the time, I was only weighing like 63 kilo, and the tournament was 76 to 81. And I said to Jim, I said, I won in. And he said, but you're not the weight. I said, I'll be the weight. And I weighed in with ankle weights on my waist, keys and phones in my pockets. And I went in there and beat in guys who were double my size. I was giving away 20 to 30 kilos then. And that's how I started getting a name for myself, because I didn't care. I'd fight any man in any size. It did not bother me. But I wanted the money to generate back into my boxing gym that I was building back home. So I realized then that in that meantime that my body was getting back better, and I could still become a fantastic athlete again. And that's what I did. I went on to beat big names like Sean George, James Kennelly, were all world champions in bare knuckle. And I was giving away 20 to 30 kilos fighting those boys. They were huge. Like James Kennelly is 6'2". Sean George is in the 80 kilo bracket normally, and former multi-world champion as a bare knuckle fighter. And then when other people pulled out, I had to fight in guys who I didn't know, and I put them away. So when you look at my record, I've had 5 or 6 bare knuckle fights now. I've knocked 5 of them out. And the only one I did knock out was Sean George, and he was a former world champion, and I won every round. So after beating Sean George, it was pretty hard to find an opponent to match me. And I said to the company, I said, if you want the company to grow, you've got to give me better opposition. I'm fed up of fighting tough guys. I said, you can be as tough as you like, but I'm a different level to these guys. I said, if you're not going to do that, there's other companies out there who are willing to pay me and get me better opposition. And to be fair to Jim and Joe, they did. They said, we can get you the SG Smith fight. And last summer, I trained all the way through my summer, and he pulled out 3 times, SG Smith did. And I was devastated because obviously my work was really important. I was doing really well in Marbella. And I was very annoyed at that. And for me, I never thought that fight was going to happen. But then all of a sudden, he came out from hiding, he signed a contract, and then he said, I'll fight any man, and I said, I'm going to be that man. I need to be that man, because it would be just nice to get some sort of accreditation or, you know, respect that now I'm fighting top opposition, finally. So I'm really excited for this, because people haven't seen the best of me yet, because I've been fighting tough brawlers, men who are just supposed to be the hardest men around, and it's not a lot of skill in that. So for me, I get bored of that. You know, when it comes to the sport of boxing, I've been doing it for 20 years. I've seen hundreds and hundreds of those men. I want someone who can test me with their skill and their maturity. And I think Ishii Smith is a perfect fighter to really show the best version of Dan Chapman on September the 16th.
Yeah, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on, I mean, I guess it's almost like a bit of a multifaceted kind of question, but I mentioned the bare knuckle experience he has before, as he got that unanimous decision win over Esteban Payon at the Valor BK event, but also kind of interesting in as far as it's like around 4 years ago, like it's like a few days shy of that mark, like in terms of when you guys will get out there and fight. So in a certain sense, it's like you can kind of look at that first bare knuckle fight and maybe study it.
To be fair, I have looked at it, and I can't look with something that happened 4 years ago. And in that fight, you know, if that's what he's going to bring to fight night, then I'm really excited for this fight, because the guy that he fought wasn't anything that even, I haven't had worse opposition than that. You know, he's a very comfortable opponent that he could, you know, show off his jab and show his boxing skills. And he done that, you know, and I think for him to be so inactive, I don't care how good someone is, if you've been inactive for 4 years, and he's jumping in with me to shake that ring rust off, then he's going to be in trouble, because I've been active. You know, I've only fought 3-4 months ago, you know, and I'm ready to fight again, you know, and he hasn't fought in 4 years, so, and most of this camp, I'm guaranteed he's going to be cutting weight because he's going to make 69 kilos. He probably, he can't even remember himself when the last time he's made 69 kilos. So he's got a lot on his shoulders, you know, and I respect that. And if he turns up on the day and he makes the weight, I'll shake his hand. And I know he's going to give me the American bullshit and all this trash talk, but that's not going to change when the bell goes. So it doesn't matter what I say or what he says, when that bell goes, it's still going to be the same result.
And just so incredible, like, we're talking about, like, what this fight represents and just the trajectory of the sport, et cetera, et cetera. And just incredible, just considering, like, some of the stuff you've been through. Like, just seeing your backstory, it seems like you've had hardships and misfortunes since you were a kid even. But just more specifically in the combat sports lane, referencing just the fact that you could have gone to the Olympics at one point and then, like, a serious motorbike accident derailing that at the time. Like, I'm trying to think of the word to describe this emotion. Like, how, I guess, gratifying is it to have been through all of this and all these setbacks and to now be where you're at now, like a prolific main event defending a title against an opponent like this?
Yeah, to be honest with you, mate, I never reflect on these things, because if I reflect and I play victim on the things that happened in my past, then I'm a weak person. I'm just privileged and blessed, and I see it every day as a positive day because I'm not in that situation now. What's happened in the past has happened in the past. I can't change that. All I can focus on is right now, and can I come down Chapman and be the best version of himself? So, but yet I'm still able to show vulnerability. I'm still able to show, you know, things that men don't normally show in the bare knuckle world. Everybody's tough. Everyone's this. Everyone's that. They got nicknames like the Dark Destroyer and all that bullshit. I go up there with my blue eyes. I call myself Indian Spice. And I laugh about it. But when that bell goes, I have full control of my switch and I become a different person. And I know that. And that's not arrogance, that's confidence. There's two different things. So when I've been in the game for over 20 years, and I got all this life experience of obstacles and things and doors closing and, you know, life-threatening injuries and all these things that happened when I was a child, of course, there's probably a way where I do channel that in my fighting. But I channel it in such a positive way that I become authentic with that. And I always put a masterclass on by having that experience because of my knowledge and my calmness. And for me, it's taken a lot of violence for me to be this calm. People don't understand that. So when I'm in these situations and in these environments where people try to break my mentality, it's impossible, mate. Absolutely impossible. I've been through way harder things in life, and that didn't break me. So what is Ishii Smith going to bring to the fight that's going to change the way I think? That's nothing. So he's just going to focus on himself, and if he doesn't, if he's focusing on me too much, again, it's going to be an easier night for Dan Chapman.
Yeah, it's just interesting, like, when things get to, like, this high level, because it's almost like a lot of the conversation is centered on, like, my composure against his composure. Like, it's less about, like, the X's and O's of the physical technique, and it's almost like my mindset against his. So
it's fine. Like, you look at the fight against Sean George lost the fight before he even got in the ring with me. He was distraught, he was angry, he was just frothing in the mouth. He couldn't do anything with me, and I was smiling, and I was just saying, mate, don't worry, when that bell goes, you're gonna find out who I am, and I have full control of that, and I love that. And people, and this is the thing, is they are expecting a reaction from me, and I just don't give it. I save that energy for when that bell goes. I don't need to give this person my energy outside of the ring. I need that energy for my everyday life. I need that for my everyday training. I need that for when I'm teaching, when I'm working. I'm really smart, and when it comes to using my energy, and when it comes to the build-up to the fight, in the change rooms, the warming up, it's, my energy is channeled perfectly because of the fight experience that I got. I've seen many, many top fighters over the years, they crumble before they get in the ring because they don't know how to control their nerves, their anxiety. They've cut corners, maybe. They start worrying about the opponent too much and all these things. And I think that is the difference between being good and great, is when you make these decisions, or when you make these decisions when you're tired, it's easy when you're feeling great and you're confident, but can you make fantastic decisions when you're blowing through your ass in that last round? Can you make good decisions, or are you making great decisions? And that's the difference between a champion and someone who's just good at the sport. And for me, is that when it comes to knowing what I bring, it's not arrogance. I'm always aware, I'm always realistic with myself. So when I say I'm going to do something, I 100% believe I can do it, or I've done it 1,000 times in the gym. So I know on the, after 1,000 times, when it comes to displaying that in the ring, it has to happen. Even on a bad day, I will still deliver that performance. And that's the difference, mate.
Yeah, it's just interesting to follow along with this journey, because I was seeing an article talking about you, and it was saying in a lot of ways you're kind of like the antithesis of what they'd expect, like meeting a bare knuckle fighter, like just in a lot of regards, like just your temperament and et cetera, et cetera. And we were almost kind of talking about that before, with like changing it from like a tough guy based kind of thing to like there being like a fight IQ that really underpins this. Like, as much as you're on like an individual athletic journey, like, do you take a certain amount of pride in like trying to change like the surrounding perception of this sport and kind of like make the optics seem like a little more favorable? Like, hey, this is a sport, this is a thing that has like fight IQ and a certain like defined kind of methodology to it almost.
Of course, when you break the bare knuckle boxing down, I'm going in there and I'm fighting a guy with no gloves on. I'm hitting people and their eyebrows are coming off their face and onto the canvas. Jaws are getting broken. I break my hands every first round of the fight. That's what displays the champion mentality, is that you carry on if nothing's happening. Because in that environment, it's so natural for me to be that person. But when I'm outside that environment, I learn to switch off, and that is a great power to have on control. Learning to control your thoughts, your emotions. Control when obstacles are thrown your way. Like I said, it's easy to be in a room full of positive people and be positive, but can you be in a room full of 10 people and not that, and still be positive? And that's what separates you from the rest. And that's the authentic side of it, of being that. Is that you're not going to fall in and be sheep-like like everybody else. It's staying true to you or whatever environment that you're in. Some people need to be in a room full of 10 positive people because they can't be in a room on their own. And for me, is I've learned to do that. I've always been independent. I've always relied on just myself. I don't rely on fucking nobody else. So when it comes to delivering a package, I know what's right for me. And anything that's around that and whatever team I have around that, it benefits me and it doesn't take my energy away. And it creates a fantastic environment then. Because these people who are around me are taking that weight, a little bit of weight off my shoulders, so I don't have to do anything else. So Dan Chapman then can focus on what he's good at. And that's what I love. Is that I'm not a yes man. I create an environment that everybody loves being part of. So when they go into other people's environments, they realize, you know what? I've never been in an environment where I'm with a fighter who creates such an epic atmosphere and delivers these performances than any other fighter they've ever worked with. And for me, as anybody who's part of that team, I bring everybody on that journey who wants to be part of that team. And this is why I'm so loyal with BKB. I've had, like, you know, there's big companies like BKFC offer me triple the salary to sign for them. But if I sign for them, I lose my integrity with BKB because they've been great with me. And two, there's not so much loyalty, is there? You know, in today's world, loyalty has gone. You know, half of the BKB family have gone to BKFC and then they got lost. And now they want to come back. So for me, they've come back with their heads between their tail. And I'm just thinking, like, you know, where's your integrity? Where's your morals? Where's your principles? Everybody burns bridges these days, and for me, I just don't do that. But that doesn't mean that I let people take a piss out of me or let people take advantage of that. But what I do is I have full control of my behaviours, but I know I don't have control of other people's, and I accept that. But when people show me these behaviours or show me these obstacles, whenever they've left my presence, then they always can remember me from the last behavior that I showed them. So me as a person, it's not just about being a fighter and being tough and being, you know, good at your sport. You know, it's about being a real person also and giving back to the fans, you know, speaking to fans daily, giving them advice, motivating them. And this is like, it's not all about me. So, you know, when you work with fighters, they talk, I've done this, I've done that, you know, and I'm not there to do that. People know what I've done. I just have to explain that. My job is to motivate people, and the background that I've come from, if I can do it, anybody can do it. You know, and you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink it. You can try and change somebody, but that's never going to change them. All you can do as a person is set the example. Do actions, not words. Do actions. And when you do actions, people will always look up to you. And when they are ready to change, they will change. And that's the way I look at things right now. And that's me when I lead into camps. And I'm not saying things don't get hard. They do. They, you know, things are hard. Life is hard every day. But I'm a doer. I've always been a doer. I don't play victim. I'm a survivor. Like, you've got to have that mentality. Otherwise, the world will just gobble you up and spit you back out.
Yeah, well said, man. And that loyalty definitely paying dividends now to BKB, just how they're, you know, positioning you and stuff like that, giving you great opportunities for sure. But I guess just in being mindful of your time here, like one of the last things I kind of wanted to touch on here, because certain fighters I talk to will pretty heavily like practice visualization and stuff like that. And I guess maybe thinking you're one of those fighters, like what's your visualization for this particular fight? Is there like a recurring ending here or ending sequence or anything of that sort? Or are you more a fighter that tries to be fluid and adaptable?
You know, when you're the champion and if you keep fighting and if you keep beating these guys, it's like the question is, when do you stop? You know, you look at every pro boxer, they always end up having 3 or 4 extra fights than they should have. You know, and you as a fighter have just got to accept that when the time is right. And for me right now, my body feels good. I have no injuries. I have a good team behind me. I live in the sun. Things are really good, you know, and I'm privileged for that. And I'm humbled by that. And I have gratitude for that. So for me, is again, I'm all about opportunity. I've told BKB, unless you give me opposition, good opposition, then if you're not going to do that, I'm not going to get out of bed for that. So if you want the company to grow, if you want me to grow, then you've got to find top opposition. I've gone past fighting the tough men, the guys, you know, late coming into fighting and have nothing to bring to the fight. Why am I going to break my hands on someone who's had 2 or 3 bare knuckles, who's 40 years of age and I haven't done anything in this sport? It does nothing for me. I break my hands and people said, well, Dan was going to beat him anyway. So for me, is unless you bring world-class opposition, then everybody benefits from that. I benefit from that, the company benefits from that. It creates the best fights. And it sets the difference between standards. You can put 2 men who've never off the street and have fight of the night because they have no defense and they turn out to be blood and guts and war. But where do you want to go with the company? Where do you want to grow? Do you want to bring top X force fighters coming in? Do you want to bring top UFC fighters coming to the sport? Well, there's a difference between that level and guys you drag off the street paying €300 for a fight. So Jim and Joe have got to understand is, where do they want to grow the company? Where do they want to go with that? Do they want to make top international fights from all around the world? Like they are going to be going to Thailand. They've linked up with BYB in America. They've come there. We've gone there. So they are going in the right direction. But they got to understand is where I am in my career right now. I've got a short time left, and I really want to make this time exciting as I can. I need to keep having fights like this. It's just a fight. For me, is people don't understand. I don't care about winning or losing. I don't care about being a world champion. It's the fact is that I've done this sport for 20 years. When I was a child, I didn't have a childhood. The childhood that I had, but when I did have a chance to have a childhood, I sacrificed it for boxing. I didn't party, I didn't take drugs, I didn't have summers, I didn't go on holidays. I lived every day in the gym like a poor man. So when it comes to delivering what I do, it's not, oh, this kid is just talented. I sacrificed everything for the sport. So if I had a company and I had an elite fighter fighting me for that, I'd do anything to make him happy. Because I know this fighter's going to give me twice as much as I'm going to give them. And that's what we need to do. We need to take away the shit in BKB and bring in the talent, the ones who want to do it, the ones who train every day, the ones who become full-time athletes. Then you are going to bring a different type of audience. You're going to bring, it's going to become an elite sport then. So again, you know, that's with me coming as a fighter's point of view. Jim and Joe might have different ideas, but for me, if they don't give me top opposition, they're going to lose me. I've told them that. I'm not going to get out of bed for someone I know I'm going to beat. So where I am right now, I'm really grateful that they have pulled this fight out of the bag against Ishii Smith. and this is going to be the toughest fight of my career, but this is going to be the best performance of my career because I'm actually in with an elite fighter. And as I know, is that I work better when I fight better opposition. It's like anything, any sport. When you play better opposition, it brings the best out of you. And on September the 16th, I'm just really excited to show the world my skills again.
Yeah, it's a very intriguing fight, and I was very excited to talk about it prior to this conversation, but definitely compounding the sentiment more, man. But I do want to be mindful of your schedule the rest of the day, as I was kind of saying before. So is there a particular, like, final parting thought you might want to add as we're sort of wrapping things up, Dan?
No, it's just, for me, I just want everybody to tune in. Whether you hate me or like me or follow me, it doesn't matter. You know, I thrive on my haters because I'm able to do things that not many people can do in a sport of boxing. So, you know, boxing sometimes is very one-dimensional. And, you know, when you look at the Roy Jones, the Prince Nazims, the Sugar Ray Leonard, they're the ones who brought a different art of boxing. And that's exactly what I'm doing to the bare knuckle world. I'm bringing a different style, a different way of fighting. I'm bringing my experience. And against Ishii Smith, I'm hoping people will start to appreciate that. And that's what I want, is the people to realize that when I drop my hands and when I show my skills, it's not arrogance, it's not cockiness, it's a talent, it's a skill that I've crafted over and over in 20 years. There's no coincidence. In 20 years, I've never been put on my ass. I've never been wobbled. So when people say these things and they say all these hateful words and comments, because they sit in an armchair and with a keyboard, and it gets easy just to write a comment when they have zero boxing experience, until they jump in there and they got their hands up and they jump in with someone like me, they will never experience how good they are until they jump in the ring with me anyway. So for me, is I don't do talking or say offensive things back. I do my talking with my hands. I don't need to persuade people with my mouth. I persuade them with my performance and what I do in my training, and I back everything up. And this is again the difference between elite fighters, is, you know, a still tongue for me is a wise tongue. So when Ishii Smith comes up with his trash talk now leading up to the next couple of weeks, which I know he will, he's already started writing shit on Instagram and stuff like that. That just shows me that he's getting nervous and he's getting frightened and he's getting scared. He's hoping that these things get reached back to me and that's gonna intimidate me. So when someone does that, and that shows me that they're a little bit nervous and they're a little bit scared, or they might have cut corners. I'm not a lion that roars. I'm a dog that just bites and doesn't bark. A dangerous dog is a dog that bites and doesn't bark. And I'm one of those. I don't do the barking and the shouting and the bullshit. I just wait till the bell goes. It's as simple as that.
And the bell will indeed go on September 16th. Very excited for BKB 34 and this looming flyweight title fight. Also kind of fun that we've got, you know, Indian Spice getting out there to take on Sugar Shea. We got Sugar and Spice and everything nice here in this next fight. So thank you for the time and insights, man. Great getting to talk to you and been wanting to chat with you for a while. You've done some exemplary things on the BKB circuit so far, and I think this next one will, you know, fit comfortably within that against a, you know, great opponent. So great to see you guys in this fight and having that opportunity to test skills and all. But until everything goes down with that, you just have a good rest of your day there, Dan. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Absolutely welcome. Thanks for the call.